And of course, I've been away with my mom. It's 4 weeks ago now. I flew down to Florida and she entered into hospice. And 10 days later, she went to be with the Lord. And she was 90 years old and she lived an active life. But she was just ready to go be with Jesus. And so I spent 10 days with her, her last 10 days of her life. I was with her for 24/7. It was one of the great joys and privileges of my life to take care of her those 10 days. And was there when she, of course, breathed her last breath. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we praise the Lord for that. But our theme has been the family of like precious faith, and we have been talking about that. If your Bibles are open to 2 Peter chapter 1, just to real quickly review, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Then in verse 4, he talks about the precious promises. We just looked at it briefly, but in chapter 1, in verse 7 of 1 Peter, it talks about the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold. So that word that talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the precious blood. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the word precious is used in verse 4, but chosen of God and precious. In verse 7 of chapter 2, 1 Peter, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So Peter uses this word precious over and over again. And this morning, we're going to have a short word of prayer in just a minute. We want to talk about the precious word of God. Because the word of God is precious. Amen? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather here this morning. We ask and pray as we begin this Bible study that you would guide us, that you would lead us, and you would direct us in all that we do and all that we say. We ask your blessing on the Sunday schools that are taking place downstairs and on the class that Ethan is teaching as well. And we pray for those who will be watching this this evening that you would just speak to their hearts as well. We ask all this now, and I ask your help as I bring this lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's pick it up and chapter 1 and verse 19. Chapter 1 and verse 19. The Bible says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So just look on your handout, if you will, the first paragraph here, the opening statement that I have for you. So it says, it has been said that every person is as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as they desire to be. Just stop and think about that for a minute. Every person is as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as they desire to be. But you'll only be as close to the Lord as you are close to the Scriptures. Because really the Scriptures, as we get into this, the Scriptures reveal to us really who the person of Jesus Christ is. So the importance of being in the Word of God, being in the Scriptures. In fact, look at, again, in 2 Peter chapter 1, go back to verse 15. Peter wrote these words, he says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now just let me stop there. This is a reference to the lesson that Aaron would have taught 2 weeks ago, that when Elijah, Moses, and Jesus were on the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 18, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Again, we already read, but I'll read it again. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So again, on your handout, on that opening paragraph right in the middle. So again, we've been emphasizing the precious faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, it's only as precious as you believe the Word of God is precious. The whole idea of Jesus being precious to us, as you get into the Scriptures and you read the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to expound upon who Jesus is and why he came and what he means to you and I. And when the Word of God becomes precious to each of us, and like anything that's precious, we're drawn to things that are precious. And as we spend time each day in the Scriptures, and the Scriptures reveal to us more and more and more of who Jesus is, he becomes more and more precious to us, and our relationship with him becomes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, the reality is, it's wonderful to come to church on a Sunday morning. But if you're not in the Word of God each and every day, and that in and of itself, coming to church, gathering together with the believers, sitting under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, worshiping the Lord, that truly is going to help you to develop your faith. But if you want a deep, close, personal walk with the Lord, then you've got to be, the Scriptures have to be precious to you. You have to be drawn to the Scriptures each day. And let me just challenge you this morning. If you're not drawn to the Scriptures each day, you might want to reflect upon that. So my wife and I have been married since 1982. Tread lightly. So every day, we spend time together. I missed her. I was down in Florida for the first week by myself, and she's precious to me. So she flew down and stayed with me that next week, actually the next 2 weeks, and then she came back. But we communicate every day. And when I was away, I missed my grandchildren. Didn't really miss my children, but I missed my grandchildren. And I wanted to just give them a hug. You know, my little Maddie. Every time you see Maddie, "Hi, Grandpa! Hi, Grandpa!" And I miss that. And because my grandchildren and my children are precious to me. Precious. Precious. The Word of God needs to be precious. It's not only important to get into God's Word, but as we get into God's Word gets into us. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've always said, in all the years I've been in the ministry, that you know sometimes we say to people, "What's on your mind? What's on God's mind?" Well, we don't have to wonder what's on God's mind. It's all right here. He spelled it out for us. And it's right here what God thinks. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Give you some examples in the Old Testament. Look on your handout. Daniel chapter 10, verse 21. I'm going to read the verse. When we get to the highlighted words there, would you just read them out loud with me? "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." This is, if you remember out of the book of Daniel, Daniel was fasting and praying for 3 weeks and waiting for God to give him an answer. And then the archangel Michael appears unto him, and he reminds Daniel, he tells Daniel that he was doing battle with the prince of Persia, which is a reference to a fallen angel, a demonic being. And there was Daniel praying for 3 weeks and looking for an answer from the Lord. And God knew that. And so it just reminded me as I was reading through Daniel chapter 10 early this morning that we're reminded of the fact that, listen, there is a spiritual warfare that's going on all around us. And so that makes it important for us, for the Word of God to be precious. Not only so we know Jesus better and better and closer, but the Word of God is our sword. It's our shield. It's our defense. It's our buckler. It's our strong tower. It's our it's all part of that. And Daniel was reminded of that. It's the scripture of truth. We live in a world, I think it's in 1 John, it speaks of the scripture, it speaks of the spirit of truth, and it speaks of the spirit of error. And that battle takes place. Truth and error all around us. Look at Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32 is the account of Moses being on, or receiving the Ten Commandments. But down below, the Israelites are waiting. Where is Moses? Where is he? And so they take off their golden earrings and their rings and all their gold, and they fashion the golden calves. And again, if you will, as I read this, won't you read the highlighted words with me? And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. The writing of God's word, graven upon the tables. And when I thought of that, the Ten Commandments being put on the stone tablets, I thought of the durability of God's word. And of course, we know from the scriptures that God has promised to preserve his word for us from generation to generation to generation to generation. And so we should be thankful of that. And all through history, men have tried to, and even today, in the day in which we live, even to a degree in our own nation, people are trying to eradicate the word of God and the things of God. I didn't really hear this, and I didn't really read this whole thing on the news, but you know, we're going through this whole thing now in our country where they look at some of our founding fathers and they want to find fault in some of their actions and they want to eradicate them from our history. Well, I saw some headline of one of the news stations that says, well, they're not only coming for our founding fathers, and I think everybody understands that our founding fathers were not perfect men. But there's been only one perfect man that's ever lived, amen, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find fault with every man. And so because they find this is wrong with one of our founding fathers, or this is wrong, or this is wrong, you'll find fault with any man. Someone was talking to me not too long ago. You know, for many of us, for years, there was who we thought was a great apologist for the Word of God, Rabbi Zacharias. And now we find that there were things going on in his life that were terrible. And so someone who is, I don't know, they're somewhere between an agnostic and an atheist. I'm not really sure where they're at right now. Was bringing that point up to me. And I said to them, listen, the Bible is filled with examples of men like Rabbi Zacharias. It's filled with examples of that. And yeah, it's a great stain upon Christianity. It's too bad. But anyhow, you're going to have to bear with me this morning. So our founding fathers. So now the next thing is, what about the men and women of our faith? Can we find fault with them? Can we just kind of eradicate them? Well, the Bible's filled with examples, like I just said, of the mistakes and the sins of great men, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Daniel. I mean, there's a man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, and yet the Bible exposes all of his sin. the reality, why does the Bible do that? It's a lesson. It points us to the fact that all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. And all need the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They all need it. We all need that. We all have our faults. And anyhow, the writing of God, graven on the tables, the Spirit of truth, the writing of God. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 7 on your handout. Then said I, lo, I come, read it out loud, won't you please? In the volume of the book, it is written of me. To do thy will, O God, the company of God's Son. The volume of the book, the book, the book, the Bible, the Word of God, the book. There's only one book that you could say the book. Like my library upstairs, it's filled with many books. And I could go up and I could take a book out of my shelf and lend it to you. In fact, Bill Bard, a commentary I had on the book of Isaiah several weeks ago. And it's a book.
Yeah, I got a question about that.
Okay, save it. It's a book. And so there are some books in my library that I go to more often than not. Like I'm a big fan of the commentaries of Matthew Henry. I enjoy reading Matthew Henry. Some people find him very boring. But I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big fan of Dr. Harry Ironside. I love to read his commentaries. But the only book that I go to every day of my life is this book, the Bible, the Word of God. And, you know, we're reminded that the Bible or the commentaries are just that. They're just the thoughts of men. And they're not always right either. So I'm reminded of that. In 1 John chapter 5, and verses 11 through 13, the Bible says, and this is the record, the Word of God, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And then it goes on to say, these things have I written, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God, the preciousness of God's Word. So, I'm thankful for the Word of God. And I know that you're thankful for the Word of God as well. It's got to be precious to us. It's the precious Word of God. Not to be taken lightly. Should really the Word of God should be taken in many ways. It should be taken really reverently. And I'm glad that by and large we have a church, a family. When COVID's not in existence and the building is more filled with people, that we are still a church that by and large, most people that attend, they bring their Bible with them. Whether they bring it in this form or nowadays, and I'm still trying to get used to all of this, sometimes people bring it electronically. But I don't know, I just like having the Bible in my hand. But either way, it's good. It's good. So now flip over on your handout and some points here just to kind of reinforce all of this here. Number one, the Scriptures, we're reminded in what we read here, are sure. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. It's a sure thing. You know, I read verse 15 earlier. Look at it again. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. After his decease, a couple of things. So as I mentioned, my mom went to be with the Lord a couple of weeks ago. One day, unless the Lord returns in my lifetime, I'm going to go be with the Lord as well. But one thing that will always remain will be the Word of God. I was talking about our founding fathers. I'm pretty sure, I should have double-checked, but I'm pretty sure it was Patrick Henry that said that the greatest inheritance a man can leave his family is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest inheritance. And so, you know, it's wonderful for me to see my children walking in the faith. They're raising my grandchildren in the faith. My father and my mother walked in the faith. Before them, my grandfather was the first. Came out of a dead form of religion and accepted Christ as his Savior in his 30s, and is by and large, most of his children came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So That was the first generation. My parents were the second generation. I'm the third generation. My children are the fourth generation. My grandchildren will be the fifth generation. But each generation passed from the scene, and each generation still had the Bible, the sure word of God, to come to understand who Jesus is, to come to understand that there's sinners that need to be saved, to come to understand that if you put your faith and trust in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, He'll save you from your sin. Praise the Lord for that. But it's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. Here's an example of the word sure in the Bible, if you notice on your handout. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. So that's Pilate telling them, make sure that's sealed tight. Make sure that no one can get in. Make sure that they can't come and steal the body away. And when you go to Israel, they take you to a sepulcher like that. What it is the stones are round stones, like a wheel. And they're thick. And there's like a track that runs on the ground. And so the stone is placed there. And then when someone would go into the sepulcher, it would take several men to just roll that stone in front of the door. And so they wanted it sealed. They wanted it shut tight. They wanted to make sure that no one could come in. Well, the problem was, the reality is, no human probably could have came in, but we weren't dealing with humans when that stone was rolled away. Amen? And Jesus came and rose from the dead. But it is a good example of the idea of sealing something, making sure of it. It's a sure thing. Well, Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith, and it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to them only which of the law, but also which of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the promises of God's word, they are not a hope-so, they are a no-so. We know what God's word says. That's part of it being a precious faith. That God, the Bible describes God as immutable. He's unchanging. It's a wonderful truth. If God's, these are just some simple truths I'm giving you this morning. You know, I'm a simple preacher. My son's a little bit deeper preacher than me. I'm just a simple preacher. My whole ministry has just been what I heard Harold Wilmington say years ago. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And that's all I am. So these are just simple truths about the Bible that I believe, and I love the Word of God. And I've seen the Word of God so true in my life. I've been witness to the things of God. Just as Peter said, he was a witness to the things of God. Eyewitness, he said in verse 16. But these are sure things. These are things we don't have to wonder about. And don't become a double-minded man, as James says. Put your faith and trust in the promises of God's Word. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The Bible records, and you'll forgive me, I forget if it's 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, over 500 witnesses that saw the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. They were eyewitnesses of that. And Peter says, we were there. We were an eyewitness. We were there. We saw these things happen. We saw Jesus give hearing back to the deaf. We saw Jesus restore sight to the blind. We saw Jesus heal the lame. We saw Jesus resurrect the dead. We saw Jesus himself be resurrected from the dead. We saw Jesus 40 days after he was resurrected from the dead. We saw him ascend into heaven. We heard the angels say, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, he shall so come again in like manner. We saw it. We were there. And then all down through history, men and women who have taken God's word, the scriptures, and they have been a sure word to them. you and me, I'm sure in your life, I can't testify for you, but I can for me, how I've seen God answer the little things, and I've seen him come through in the big things. Over again and over again and over again. It's sure. It's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. I was watching a little bit of a hockey game yesterday. Not a hockey game. A history of hockey. Oh, when was it? I think it was 57. 1957. The Americans won the gold medal in the Olympics. It was unprecedented. These were all just college kids. They were going up against, first they went up against the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, the hockey player for the Soviet Union went up to the goaltender for the American team trying to intimidate him. And he said to him, he said this, when we start to play tomorrow, I'm going to put a shot past you here. I'm going to put a shot past you here. I'm going to put a shot past you over here. Well, the Americans won that game. And that guy that bragged like that, he never scored one goal. But you know what he was saying to the American team? It's a sure thing we're going to beat you. You guys are just a bunch of amateur college players. They were like the premier team. And then they beat the Canadian team. And then they had to play the Czech team in the Gold Cup for the gold medal. And they beat the Czech team. It was kind of like, you know, we remember, I forget how many years ago was it when the Americans beat the Russians, you know, the miracle on ice thing. It was kind of like the first miracle on ice. The Russian, he was so sure of things. Can never be sure. Except if you're talking about the Bible, the Word of God. You can always be sure. Always be sure. And then secondly, the Scriptures, they shine, verse 19. The Bible says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, which whereunto you do well, that you take heed. As a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day star is a reference to Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation 22:16 on your handout. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you in these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. So you and I, when we got saved, we needed his light. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior at 24 years old, having heard the gospel my whole life and really rejecting the light, I needed the light of Jesus Christ to shine into my life. I needed it. Take your Bibles and turn, won't you, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. What it says here. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, that would of course be John the Baptist, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Well, we know that Jesus, it's a reference to Isaiah prophesying the coming of Jesus. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. We know that his word is light. The world needs light. It needs the light of God's word. It needs the light of Jesus in their lives. You can go back to 2 Peter. On your handout is Psalm 119, 105. Thy word. Let's just read this one out loud. Won't you with me together? It's a great, if you don't have this verse memorized, you should. It's an easy one to memorize. Let's say it out loud together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You sing that chorus, too. It's part of a chorus out of the Scriptures. Which are the Psalms that are meant to be sung. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it's true. It's true. The world's a dark place. People live in darkness. There's a lot of anxiousness in the days in which we live now. The world's always been a dark place with all that goes on in the world in which we live. So the psalmist said in Psalm 74:20, if you notice, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. The world has always been a cruel place since Adam and Eve sinned against God. There's a lot of cruelty in the world. It's cruelty people to people, nation to nation. It's a dark world because men love darkness rather than light. That's what Jesus said. Men are drawn to darkness. But we need the light of God's word. My dear friend, Brother Tim Taylor, up in Vergennes, Vermont, we've been good friends for many years, but we were just barely friends. And the first year I went to camp to work at Camp Good News, we were meeting at this camp. I forget the name of it, but you slept in a lean-to with your kids. And it was pretty rustic. A couple of meals you had to cook out at the tent, out at the lean-to. And it was like a canvas flap. And so we're camping there in these things. And I've got, I think, five boys in my lean-to with me. I had two boys from Utica, New York, that had never been outside of Utica, New York. Every sound that they heard, they thought it was a bear coming to eat them. I mean, every sound. What's that? They'd say, what's that? Anyhow, Tim would make rounds at night, and it's all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe it was the first night, I hear somebody coming through the woods. And they're kind of like stumbling and falling. And he gets to my cabin, or my lean-to. And he says, oh, I said, what are you doing? He says, I was trying to find your lean-to. Well, where's your flashlight? I said, oh, I forgot it. He's stumbling around in the dark. We still laugh about that. Anyhow, the point is, people are just stumbling around in the dark. We don't need to, Christians sometimes stumble around in the dark. We don't need to. It's right here. It's the light of God's word. The world in which we live in, it's a cruel place. And people need the light of God's word. The scriptures, they shine. They shine. And then lastly, the scriptures are spirit-given. Verses 20 through 21. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what we believe to be the plenary verbal inspiration of the word of God. That God moved upon some 40 different men over the period of 1,500 years. And they penned the scriptures, the very word of God. Not their thoughts. These aren't, you know, the Bible, we're reminded, the 66 books of the Bible are not some man's opinion of who and what God is. The 66 books of the Bible is, as I said earlier, it is the mind of God revealed to mankind. It's the revelation of God. It's the inspiration of God's word. What is it in 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means not, it means to be mature. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gives us his word, inspired. The scriptures were given, inspired by God. Where was that word moved here? Verse 21. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word moved there has the idea of a ship that's on the ocean. And a sailing ship. And they put up their sails. Well, if there's no wind, the ship doesn't go anywhere. But when the wind blows, the ship begins to move. And that's the idea of the word inspiration. It's the very breath of God. And so these scriptures that we have, it's not the ideas of man, it's the ideas of God himself. That God moved upon men and wrote the word of God. Look what it says here in Isaiah 59:21, and I'm finishing up here. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth. These words which Isaiah spoke, God put these words in his mouth. the words that the Peter penned here, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, or the epistles that Paul wrote, or the gospels that were written, or the book of James. These were words that God moved upon these men, and they penned these words. They shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. God promised to preserve his word. Let's just turn to 2 Corinthians and I'm done. We'll read these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. I think I meant 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Yeah, go to it's not 2 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians 2:13. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says this. Well, let's get back up to verse 12. But we have not received, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let me just stop there for a minute. By the way, it's great to have commentaries on the Bible, but the greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Scripture needs to match with other scripture. That's why sometimes people take scripture and take it out of context. But this scripture has to agree with this scripture, which has to agree with these other scriptures. There's not a conflict between scriptures. Okay? And you understand what I'm saying? Okay? And so commentaries are great, but don't forget commentaries are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the natural man receiveth, or verse 13, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, why is it sometimes someone who's not a believer has some real trouble with the Word of God? Because truly, until you come to terms with the fact that you're a sinner that needs to be saved, until you accept Christ as your Savior, until you then have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that we know in the Gospels of John especially that teaches us, that guides us, that directs us, that brings conviction. It's the Holy Spirit has been given to us as that gift who dwells within each of us. So the Holy Spirit has not only moved upon men and these words were penned, that's why they're a sure word, that's why they shine, they're Spirit-given. But the Holy Spirit helps us and teaches us as we read through the Scriptures. As we might even hear sometimes, we might hear false doctrine. And we might think, there's something not right about that. So what do? We go to the book. We go to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about that? And then we know. There's a lot of things going on in the world around us today. A lot of social things. You know, we talk about abortion. For me, abortion's never been really a political issue, although it's been made a political issue. But to me, primarily, it's a spiritual issue. It's God. God is the giver and taker of life. And other issues that we could get into. The primary source of every issue, go to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? And then you develop your family view, your world view, your personal view, your biblical view on the book, the Bible. Thanks. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time that you've given us. Bless the morning worship service. Be with Pastor Ethan as he preaches this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move upon him, guide him, direct him in all that he's about to say. Help us to be prepared to hear what we need to hear and apply it to our lives. Be with the junior church downstairs as well. Those young lives, just touch their hearts. Open their minds and their spirits to the Word of God. Help them to find that the Bible to be precious. Help our children and grandchildren to see in us that the Bible, the Word of God, is precious to us. Just, Lord, as you are so precious. In Jesus' name, amen.
We are so glad that you've taken the time to join us today. If you've been blessed by the message, or if you have placed your faith in Jesus today, we want to hear from you. Maybe you still have questions about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Please let us know, and we would love to answer those questions from the Bible. We would also be happy to provide you with the Bible and other free Christian resources to help you grow in your faith. You can email us at info@mountgreylockbaptist.com or send us a message on Facebook. You can also call us at 413-662-2107. We would love to hear from you, and our desire is to be a blessing to you in any way that we can. God bless.